नमस्ते कामले यो ब्रह्माणं विदधाति पूर्वं यो वै वेदांश्च प्रहिणोति तस्मै तद्मह्देवमात्मबुद्धिप्रकाशम् मुमुक्षुर्वै शरणमहं प्रपद्ये। Dear devotees, we'll do a few minutes of Nam Sankirtan, and after that I'll begin the topic of Shri Krishna Tattva.
Bhajo Giri Dhar Govinda Gopala Bhajo Giri Bhajo Giri Dhar
Hare Govinda Gopala.
Tonight I'm going to talk to you about who is Shri Krishna or what is Krishna Tattva. Who is Shri Krishna is not a topic that I'm qualified to speak on, because to know Shri Krishna you have to have attained Shri Krishna. You have to be a God-realized saint. Nonetheless, on the basis of what's written in our Vedic scriptures, we'll try to understand something about Shri Krishna, because without knowing something, without knowledge, jane binu na hoi paratiti, binu paratiti hoi nahi priti. Without knowledge, we won't have faith, and without faith, we can't love Him. So we need something to go on. We need some knowledge about Shri Krishna. So based on what I've learned from my Guruji, from Jagadguru Shri Kripaluji Maharaj, I will share with you some useful knowledge about Shri Krishna. In Sanatan Dharma, the first question that always arises is it mentioned in the Vedas? In this case, is Shri Krishna mentioned in the Vedas? We know that Shri Krishna walked on this earth planet 5,000 years ago. He was physically here on earth. And since that time, we've said Jai Shri Krishna to greet each other, or Radhe Radhe. We've known about Shri Krishna. We've worshipped Shri Krishna. But did anyone know about Him before that? It was 5,000 years ago again that Vedavyasji revealed the Bhagavatam, telling all the Krishna Leelas. Did anybody know about Shri Krishna before them? To know the answer to that, we would have to know, is Shri Krishna described in the Vedas? Because the Ved is the foundation of all the spiritual knowledge. It's the authority. If it's not in the Vedas, then the other scriptures won't describe it either. In fact, the other scriptures are only describing what is in the Vedas, maybe in more details. But they don't take up anything that isn't already mentioned in the Vedas. So the Ved is the prime authority on scriptural matters, the first authority. So if it's not in Vedas, people won't accept it. It may be in any other scripture. If it's not at least indicated in the Vedas, people won't be ready to accept that. So is Shri Krishna mentioned in the Vedas, keeping in mind that the Vedas are eternal? Nishvasitamasya Veda. It is told in Veda itself. that Ved is a power of God that resides in God, comes from God, and is produced by God in this world. Ved is called both apaurusheya and paurusheya. Purush is another word for God. So apaurusheya means not made by God, and paurusheya means from God. Our scriptures say both are true. Why is Ved apaurusheya, not made by God? Because God didn't make Ved from nothing. Ved has existed eternally. So it is apaurusheya. Bhagwan ne banaya nahi. Lekin prakat kiya hai, isliye paurusheya. Nishvasitam asya vedah. During Mahapralaya, Bhagawan was breathing and he exhaled and the Vedas were manifested. They were produced outwardly. They were in his antahkaran and they became produced outwardly, and that you could say that was the subtle form of the Vedas, and he produced them in a gross form. And then those same Vedas were made known on the earth planet. And the same Vedas have existed for as long as we have and as long as God has. So the knowledge of the Vedas is an eternal knowledge. Is Sri Krishna told in these Vedas? There's a question posed in the Vedas. Kaha paramo devah? Kaha means who? Paramo devah, who is the supreme dev? Who is the supreme God? Kaha paramo deva? So Ved gives the answer. Krishna havai paramam devatam. Shri Krishna is that param dev. Kaha paramo deva? Kasyan mrityur vibheti. Kasya jnanena akhilam gyatam bhavati. This is all from Gopal Tapaniya Upanishad. Gopal Tapaniya Upanishad is an Upanishad that describes specifically about Shri Krishna, the whole Upanishad. So this is asking, who is the Param Dev? Who is that Param Dev in front of whom even the God of death trembles? And who is that Param Dev by knowing whom you know everything and there is nothing more to know after that? Krishna havai paramam daivatam. Shri Krishna is that param dev. Gopal Purvatapaniya Upanishad again says, Krishna eva paro devas tam rasayet tam bhajet tam bhajet tam dhyayet. In other words, Shri Krishna alone is Param Dev, Supreme Brahma. He is Ras. Tam Rasayet means he is Ras. God is referred to as Ras in the Taittiriya Upanishad. Raso Vai Saha. Saha means Wo, Bhagwan. Vai means He. Ras, you know, means like the essence, the nectar, the bliss. So, raso vai saha, wo ras hi hai. God is ras. So who is the supreme ras? Tam rasayet. That's Shri Krishna. Krishna eva paro devas tam rasayet tam dhyayet. Meditate on him. Remember him. Tam bhajet, tam bhajet. Worship him, love him, surrender to him. Gopal Purvatapaniya Upanishad again says, Tamekam Govindam Satchidananda Vigraham. He is Govinda. He is Supreme God. He is the one and only. And he is Satchidananda. His vigraha is Sat Chit Anand. Vigraha means his body, his form. So his form is not a material form, it's his eternal form, and his body itself is made of Sat Chit Anand. Sat means eternal life, Chit means divine knowledge, and Anand means unlimited bliss. So God himself is the form of bliss and the form of knowledge. So Shri Krishna is mentioned in the Vedas. There's another Veda called Krishnopanishad. It's named after him. There's another Veda, there's another Upanishad called Radhika Upanishad, which also tells about Radha and Krishna. So Krishna is described extensively in our Vedas, proving that we knew about him before 5,000 years ago, before he appeared on this earth planet. Now, the topic for this three-part series is, who is Shri Krishna? What is Krishna Tattva? Tattva means the actual substance. What is Krishna Tattva? Who is Shri Krishna? So we can start with his name. His name is described in Brihat Gautamiya Tantra, the actual meaning of Krishna. Krishi shabdo hi sattartho nashchanandarupaka. Satta swanandayor yoga chit param brahma chochyate. What does Krishna mean? Krishna means Sat Chit Anand. That's what it means. His name actually has a few meanings. This is the definition given in this scripture. Sat Chit Anand is Krishna. Means Krishna himself is divine God. Krishna himself is the form of divine bliss. And he is Param Brahm. Krishna also means Sat Chit Anand, who is Param Brahm. Param means supreme, Brahm. This word Brahm is being used for Krishna. So what is Brahm? Brahma is also described in the Vedas, the very definition of the word Brahm. Brihati, Brihayati, Iti Tat Param Brahma. Brahma means that which is the greatest, the largest, beyond everyone and everything. Like Shvetashvatra Upanishad says, Natat samascha bhyadhikascha drishyate. Brahma cannot be equaled or surpassed by anyone. There is no one equal to him or beyond him or greater than him. So he is the greatest. That is the meaning of Brahma. And Brihayati, the other meaning of the word Brahma, he makes others great like him. Others meaning us, souls. If we surrender to him through his grace, he will make us great as well. Great meaning blissful, having divine bliss and divine knowledge. So Shri Krishna is Brahm. He is supreme. He is beyond everyone and everything. Veda also says about Brahm, Yato va imani bhutani jayante yena jatani jivanti yat prayantyabhisam vishanti tat Brahm. Taittiriya Upanishad. What is Brahm? Because we're saying Shri Krishna is Brahm. So what does Brahma mean? The one from whom everything came, the whole universe and all the souls. The one in whom everything is currently residing. We're all inside Shri Krishna right now. The whole universe is. And the one into whom we all become lean. We all merge into him during Mahapralaya. And the one who is our ultimate goal, that is Brahm, and that Brahm is Shri Krishna. Now let's go to the Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam is also a very important scripture of Sanatan Dharma. After having rewritten all the Vedas, Bhagwan Vedavyas, who himself is a dissension of Bhagwan, after rewriting all the Vedas and revealing the Mahabharata, including the Gita, rewriting the Ramayana, writing the Vedanta Sutra, Brahma Sutra, writing 17 Puranas, after doing all of that, revealing all of that knowledge, Vedavyasji was still restless, feeling that his work was undone. Muhyatyajnana Sagare, Bhagavat Mahatmya says, he was restless, he wasn't sure what was left out. So Naradji came to him and explained that you have to tell more about Shri Krishna. You have to write Bhagavatam, and in Bhagavatam you reveal more about the supremacy of Shri Krishna and the bliss given by Shri Krishna. So first Vedavyasji did devotion to Krishna, he attained him, he got his divine vision, and then he wrote the Bhagavatam. So the Bhagavatam was his final revelation, where he reconciled all the philosophies of Vedas, Upanishads, Gita, Brahma Sutra, all the six Darshan Shastras. Everything is included in the Bhagavatam in a very concise and neat way. So whereas in the Puranas, every Purana gives emphasis to a particular form of God and doesn't say much about the other forms, it's telling mostly about one form of God. In the Bhagavatam, the whole philosophy is reconciled, meaning that all the forms of God are explained together so that we can understand how they're interrelated and all one. So there's one verse in particular where Vedavyasji, he just took the whole philosophy and put it in one shloka. Vadanti tat tattva vidas tattvam yajnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabdyate. He says there's one advaya jnana tattva. Who's that? That param brahma, Shri Krishna, whom we were referring to. He is the absolute supreme power. Advaya jnana tattva. What does that advaya jnana tattva word mean? It means he is sat chit anand. He's unlimited sat, unlimited chit, unlimited anand. And it means nothing exists independently from him. Yet he is independent from everyone. He doesn't depend on anyone or anything, but everyone else depends on him. So it means the souls, although we have our own free will to perform actions, yet we don't exist independently from God, meaning that without Shri Krishna's grace, we would not be alive. He gives life to our soul. So he gives life to the souls. He activates Maya. He makes Maya expand into the form of this universe. Maya doesn't have a mind of its own. This cosmic energy, Maya, it can't just manifest the universe on its own. Shri Krishna activates it. And Maya keeps running with the power it receives from Shri Krishna. And when Shri Krishna deactivates it, then Maya dissolves and the whole universe disappears. So he is the governor of Maya. He gives life to all the souls. And all the forms of God are included in his personality. Therefore, he is the Advaya Jnana Tattva. Nothing exists outside of him. Yet, he is fully independent. He doesn't need anything and doesn't depend on anyone for anything. So that Advaya Jnana Tattva, Shri Krishna, he has three states in which he exists eternally. The names, the terms given by Veda Vyas are Brahma, Paramatma, Bhagwan. It means that one Shri Krishna is appearing in three forms. There aren't three gods, there's one God, but he appears eternally in three states, you can say. States like, meaning like water has three states in which it appears. Water can be liquid, water can be solid, water can be vapor. It's the same H2O, but that same water appears in these three different ways. Similarly, Shri Krishna can be Brahma, he can be Paramatma, and he can be Bhagwan, and in fact he is all three all at once, simultaneously. So what is Brahma? Brahma is formless God. Paramatma is his almighty form, his personal form, as almighty God. And Bhagwan is his divine love form as Shri Krishna. So what's the difference between the three? Internally, there's no difference. Just like if you chemically analyze water, steam, or ice, the chemical analysis will be the same. It's not three separate things. It's just three states of the same thing. So internally, it's the same. Similarly, Brahma, Paramatma, and Bhagwan are exactly the same thing internally. No difference in the powers, no difference in the substance. But as Brahma, almost none of God's powers are actively manifested. They're there, but they're dormant. So that's why Brahma is formless. We say nirakar. Akar means a form. Nirakar, no form. Why is Brahma nirakar? Because his powers aren't active, so he doesn't have a form. He is nirguna. Guna means qualities. Like some quality you could describe. There's no quality of Brahma that you could describe because all of his powers are dormant, so he has no qualities, no form, no qualities. He is nirvishesh. Vishesh means like a characteristic, a distinguishing characteristic. He has no visheshan, no distinguishing characteristics because all of his powers are dormant. So how can you describe Brahma? You really can't. Mandukya Upanishad says, Adrishta Mabhyavaharya Magrahya Malakshana Machintya Mabhyapadeshya Mekatma Pratyayasaram Prapancho Pashamam Shantam Shivam Advaitam. That Nirakar Brahma cannot be seen, cannot be described, cannot be conceived of in the mind, cannot be interacted with in any way. So this is Nirakar Brahma. This is Shri Krishna when all of his powers are dormant. So this Nirakar Brahma has no form, no virtues, no abode, no leelas, just a dormant divine existence. The same Shri Krishna simultaneously exists as Paramatma. Paramatma, you know, Vishnu, Mahavishnu. That supreme almighty God. This is Paramatma. There are also other manifestations of this almighty power, like Shiva, Durga, many almighty manifestations. Parvati, Lakshmi, Saraswati, Ganesh, Kartikeya. These are all almighty forms of God. So we'll just keep it simple and say the almighty form of God, Paramatma. So as Paramatma, the same that the same one who was Brahm, who had no form, he simultaneously exists with a form, almighty form, like Mahavishnu. Why? Because his powers are active. So when his powers are active, his form is manifested. And he also has gunas, he has virtues, he has names. See, Brahm doesn't have a name. Brahm is not the name of formless God. It's the term we use to refer to him, but he has no name, no form, no virtues, no lilas, no abode. Paramatma has a form, Mahavishnu. Paramatma has a name, I just said. Paramatma has gunas. For instance, how could you describe Almighty God? Well, he has unlimited beauty. He has unlimited opulence in his divine abode. You could go to his divine abode, as saints do who attain Paramatma, and they enjoy the opulence of his abode, meaning the ground is strewn with jewels. There's no need for lights over there. The jewels themselves give off light. Even the stones and the trees and the sky and the sun is all the manifestation of divine bliss. And God himself has become his abode. It's the expansion of his own self. And you can also see God. So you have some description of God's qualities. He is kind. He is gracious. He is all-knowing. You might say, but isn't Brahm any of these things? No, Brahm does not know anything because the mind of God is not active in that form as Brahm. Formless God in that state, even his mind is not active. So does he know anything? No. He is bliss, yes, but does he know his own blissfulness? No. As Paramatma, he knows his own blissfulness because his mind is active. He knows he can do what? Create the universe. That's the job of Paramatma. So this is Sri Krishna when most or many of his powers are active. But as Bhagawan, his third form, not only does he have a form and he has virtues and he has a divine abode, but he also performs lilas. Because the divine love power is active, he performs lilas. You know his lilas. We've all heard many of Krishna's lilas. He has another more reserved form, Ram. So Ram also performs lilas. Ram and Krishna in this case are referred to in this category of Bhagwan, the divine love form of God. Vishnu, Shiva, Durga and other almighty forms are referred to in the category Paramatma, and then formless God we're calling Brahm, Nirakar Brahm. So without the divine love power manifested as Paramatma, there's no lilas. Vishnu doesn't do lilas. He is sitting seriously in his abode, and you can admire and enjoy his divine bliss, but you don't get to participate in any lilas. Sri Krishna gives us the opportunity to take part in his lilas, to see his lilas or to join into them. So there's another aspect added. This is Bhagawan. So now we understand something about Sri Krishna. He is Brahm. He is Supreme God. He is the Advaya Jnana Tattva. And he exists eternally in these three states as Bhagawan, as Paramatma, and as Brahm. Understand a little bit more deeply. Tonight is the technical part of the lecture. The next couple of nights we'll get more into the practical aspects of devotion. Bhagavatam tells something else about Sri Krishna. Avatara hya sankhyeya hare sattva nidher dvija. Bhagwan has taken uncountable avatar. Like if you have a big, large lake, and out of that lake there are uncountable rivulets emerging and running out. Like that, Bhagawan Shri Krishna has taken uncountable forms in which he's appeared on this earth planet. So his dissensions are described in the Bhagavatam. It says, Ete chancha kalapunsa krishnastu bhagavan swayam. There's a secret in this verse. It says, krishnastu bhagavan swayam. Shri Krishna swayam bhagavan hai. He himself is Bhagwan, and he himself takes avatar in these other forms who are his ansh and kala. Ansh means in those forms he's manifesting a portion of his power. Not that those other forms are less than Shri Krishna, they are Shri Krishna, but in those forms he's only outwardly manifesting a portion of his power. See, there's a description in Bhagavatam. Jayastvisha mityavadharitam pura tata shariti vibhavita kritim vibhur vibhakta vayavam pumanitikramad mundarad ityabodhisa. Can understand about Bhagawan, Paramatma and Brahma from this one shloka. It tells that one time Naradji was descending from the celestial abodes. He was coming here on earth. He descended down to Dwarika. So the residents of Dwarika, they looked up and they saw at a great distance in the sky there was a bright light coming. They didn't know what it was. They just saw the bright light. Then as it came closer, they saw, oh, there's some form, a human-like form that's shining so brightly. And then when he got right down onto the earth, then they saw, oh, it's Naradji. So this is like Brahm, Paramatma, Bhagwan. Brahm is like, if you were to experience God in the form of Brahm, it would be a distant experience. Like that's the same Naradji you're seeing face to face here, but when he's so far away, it's just like a bright formless light. When he gets closer, you can make out some form, but it's so glorious, you can't tell exactly who it is. So that's like Paramatma. You can admire the greatness and glory of Almighty God, but you can't have a close relationship with him. But when he's writing, oh, it's Nada, you can talk to him. Same Nada. So similarly, same God is Brahm, Paramatma, Bhagwan. But as Bhagwan Shri Krishna, you can have a close personal relationship with him. He can just talk to you like this. When he's Vishnu, you can see him, but you can't have much interaction. And when he's Brahm, well, he's just a formless divine existence, so you can't have any kind of interaction or even see him. So that Bhagwan Shri Krishna, when he wants to create this earth planet, he takes his first avatar. It's called Purushavatar, Pratham Purushavatar. Purush means supreme almighty God. Pratham means first. So Shri Krishna, Bhagwan Shri Krishna, Swayam Bhagwan, he takes his first avatar, Pratham Purushavatar. Who is that? That is Mahavishnu of Vaikunth abode. Paurusham Rupam Bhagavan Mahadadibhi. Bhagavatam says that Bhagavan Shri Krishna, he comes as Purush, Paurusham Rupam. Why? To manifest the universe. He does that job. The universe is manifested by Shri Krishna in the form of Mahavishnu. Then he takes Dvitiya Purushavatar. Dvitiya Purush is called Garbhodashayi. In that form he becomes omnipresent in the universe. And then his third form, Tritiya Purush, he becomes Vishnu of one Brahman. You have to pay close attention. See, I told you two different Vishnus. One is Mahavishnu of Vaikunth abode. As Mahavishnu, Shri Krishna manifests the whole universe. In this universe, then he creates uncountable Brahmand. Brahmand means an earth planet, a planetary system where souls are going to reside. And in each Brahmand, he comes as Vishnu of that Brahmand, whose abode is Chir Sagar. So there is his divine abode of Supreme Almighty God, Mahavishnu, which is called Vaikunth abode. Then he establishes an embassy of the divine abode in each Brahman. That's called Chir Sagar. So that's why when like the Devatas have some problem, they go to Brahma, and Brahma says, well, let's go ask Vishnu for help. So do they go to Vaikunth Lok? No, they go to Chir Sagar. Like if you're in a foreign country and you want help, you go to the embassy. You don't return back to your original country. So they go to the embassy, they go to Chir Sagar, and they ask Vishnu of that Brahman for help. So who is Vishnu of that Brahman? The same Shri Krishna, but that's called Tritiya Purushavatara of Shri Krishna. So Shri Krishna becomes Mahavishnu to create the whole universe. That's Pratham Purushavatara. Dvitiya Purushavatara, he becomes omnipresent in the universe. Tritiya Purushavatara, he descends in each Brahmand as Vishnu of that Brahmand. Then he takes care of that Brahmand. He's the sustainer or the maintainer. And as Vishnu of that Brahmand, he takes all the other avatar, like Narsingha avatar, Varaha avatar, Vamana avatar. All the other avatar, you know, that's Vishnu of this Brahmand who comes for one reason or another on this earth planet. So that's the whole system, how it's arranged. But every once in a while, Swayam Bhagawan comes on the earth planet. So when Shri Krishna comes on the earth planet, it's not Vishnu of this Brahman who's appearing as Krishna. It's Swayam Bhagawan who comes and visits, like the president coming. You know, if the president of the United States were to visit Lawrenceville, then the mayor of Lawrenceville, who you can say in a way is representing the president in this locality, then he would welcome the president. So something like that, when Shri Krishna appears on this earth planet, then all the divine powers come and welcome him. It's described in Bhagavatam and in Garga Sanghita that when Shri Krishna appeared in the jail cell, then all the divine powers, all the governors of this Brahman, they all came and did stuti. They paid their respects to Shri Krishna. So that is Swayam Bhagwan. Not saying that the other forms of God are not Bhagwan, they are. They are Shri Krishna. But those are forms of Shri Krishna, and only once in a while. Only once in one day of Brahma, in one kalp, does Swayam Bhagwan Shri Krishna actually set foot on this earth planet. Other avatar are descensions of Vishnu of this Brahmand. But the president himself comes every once in a while, once in one day of Brahma. So that's a great event in the history of the earth planet when Shri Krishna comes with Radha on the earth planet and reveals all of his leelas, which happened only 5,000 years ago. See, a day of Brahma is very long. It's more than 4 billion years long. 4,320,000,000 years is one kalp, according to the calculations of Bhagavatam and the Vedas. So once in that much time, Swayam Bhagwan, Shri Krishna, comes on the earth planet. Although there are always other avatar happening. but they are mostly avatar of Vishnu, of this Brahman. So now you understand some of the philosophy about who is Shri Krishna, what is Krishna Tattva. He is the Paratpar Tattva. There's nothing beyond him. Everything is within him. And that Shri Krishna actually visits this earth planet every once in a while. So this brings up another question, that that Krishna that we know about, that we read about in Bhagavatam, who, you know, had to learn to walk and talk, and sometimes threw temper tantrums and cried when he didn't get his way, and, you know, stole makhan and quarreled with Maya Yashoda and played with his friends. That boy, whom we love to hear about his leelas, is that the same Shri Krishna who's the Lord of the whole universe, who's Swayam Bhagwan? It seems like something we need to understand more about. How could that Supreme God be that same little boy who walked around on this earth planet and did all of those loving behaviors that he did? So is that the same Shri Krishna that we know about, who is the same Shri Krishna who is Swayam Bhagwan? I'll take up that question from tomorrow. So we'll finish today by doing some chanting. This is this kirtan we're going to sing, Joi, Joi Nandanandan Jagavandan, Soi Mama Priyatama Pyaro. This tells about the greatness. Who is Shri Krishna? This kirtan is written by Jagadguru Shri Kripaluji Maharaj.
Yeah. Priya Samadhyaya Soma Jesus. Thank you.
Krishna Bhagavan Ki Jai. We'll have two more parts to this series. Tomorrow will be at the same time. The Aarti is also at 7:30 tomorrow. Is that 7? So, although on the flyer it says we're starting at 7, but actually the Aarti, I think there's one Aarti at 7 and another Aarti at 7:30. So we'll start after that 7:30 Aarti here in the hall. And then on Sunday will be the third day. What time is the Aarti on Sunday at 7? So we start at 5 and go to 7 on Sunday. Okay. So tomorrow we'll start right after the Aarti at 7:30, and Sunday is 5.